Welcome to the Pencil Skirt Society. It's Amy Boulding
and Amanda Dalrymple.
And each week, we're going to talk to women just like you and me who are building their businesses, improving their relationships, and working on themselves each and every day.
That's right, and we're so happy you're here with us. Let's go ahead and get started.
Hello and welcome, friends. It's another great week. Amanda and I are so excited that you're here. Welcome to all of our new listeners and returning listeners. We're so thankful for you. Mandy, are you there?
You guys, like, people have called me Mandy, like, in high school for a hot second. And Amy called me Mandy the other day in a chat. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go with this. Let's roll with it. So I'm Mandy now, in case y'all were wondering.
Yeah, she's Mandy in my book. I have not changed podcast host. This is just a thing. The thing that we're trying. We're going to try it out. No, I know that you're traveling, so I'm super grateful for you being here with us to record. I'm going to put a disclaimer on this episode right now because we have been having some of the worst technical difficulties. So if we sound like that little trolls dude right now, I'm just going to let you know on this episode, I'm going to fix what I can, but I am not a professional yet. So bear with us, but you know, it's super late in Texas, but I know you've had one hell of a day. So thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh. You're welcome. Yeah, I have. It's been, I'm having a glass of wine right now. Just that gives you like a little glimpse into my travel day. But listen, it wasn't as bad as what I like had pictured in my head. My 3-year-old was great. He literally just watched his iPad the whole time, watched some Blippi, watched some Cars 2. So I'm sure all you mamas can relate to both of those. But it was pretty good. My 1-year-old, he is not the kind of guy that likes to sit still. And so I was wrestling with him quite a bit on both flights. We had 2 flights. And when we rolled into South Dakota, all these people on my flight were like, oh my gosh, how are you traveling in a tank top and flip-flops? And I'm like, you guys, I'm sweating. Like this was a workout for me to like contain a 1-year-old kid on 2 flights. So that's kind of how it went. And, you know, we have been traveling all day and he has napped for 1 hour. And y'all, he is so used to taking like 5 or 6 naps a day. And so he has just hit this point tonight where he is just over it. He's overly tired. And again, I know all the parents can relate. When your kids get overly tired, it's not a good place to be because they're crying and they won't go to sleep. And, you know, they're fed and they have clean diapers and like they have everything they need, but they're just too tired. And so that's where he was at tonight. It took forever to get him to finally go to sleep, but he finally did. And now I'm having a glass of wine and I get to hang out with my bestie from Texas. So I'm all about it.
Well, and you are in South Dakota, right?
Yes.
To see your grandma? Because I know we talked about it last week.
Yep. Yep. I'm here. And it's funny because, like, I learned today, and I'll use South Dakotans, if that's South Dakotaites, South Dakotans, right? I feel like it'd be Kodoans.
you sound like me right now trying to pronounce something.
But, like, I learned when I got here, everyone was, like, arriving at the airport, and they were like, yo, we arrived at Sodak. Like, we're so excited to be in Sodak. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to start calling it Sodak now. That sounds cool.
Feel like that's something that I would sound like an idiot trying to go out there and say. Like,
that's how I feel too. Like, ooh, I can't be that hipster. Like, I don't feel like I could say that cool.
Please get on your Instagram tomorrow and like go to downtown Sodak and be like, what's up, Sodak? Like, I'm here.
It's Sodak Nation.
Oh, Lordy. Well, that sounds like fun. And I know your grandmother is super happy to see you guys. Like, what grandma is not happy to see her grandbaby and their great grandbabies?
I know
you're only there 4 days, but I know you're going to have a blast. It's going to be awesome.
No, we're so excited to be here. And like, my grandma has never met my youngest son. And so she got to meet him for the first time today. And he's just been all about her and just going up to her and smiling. And he's loving it. And she's loving it. And it was so cute today. She was in her kitchen and she just like started getting teary. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm already thinking about you guys leaving. And it's just so painful. And I just like, you know, I'm not looking forward to that. And so I'm like, no, don't think of that. We just got here. Let's like make the best of our time together. So we have, you know, we're going to do so many cool things. And like, there's a dinosaur park. I said this a couple weeks ago or last week. Like, we have a dinosaur park and we're going to go visit Firehouse Winery. And like, we have all these cool things planned. There's a water park here And so my 3-year-old is like totally all about that. So we're going to go do that. We're going to do some fun stuff. And so she's just going to love that.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. And I know that she feels like that she's hit the jackpot because you guys are there. And I feel like we have definitely hit the jackpot with all of the work we've been doing on the podcast. We have had like the best guest say yes to us recently. I'm so excited about this episode, and I'm so excited about everybody coming up in this food series. Like literally, I feel like it's the best week. I know Grandma feels like it's the best week too.
No, it totally is. And like, you know, when you say like we hit the jackpot about our guests, all I can picture is like, you know, when you walk into a casino and you can hear like the machines like cha-ching, cha-ching, like all over. I feel like Amy and I just like walk in like to the casino like Beyonce and like flip our hair and all of the machines just start like ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And we just keep getting like these amazing guests. Like that's what it feels like, you guys. And Natalie is, oh my God, I don't even know how to explain her. She is determined. She has this incredible passion for what she does. And she has this grit and this tenacity. And like, I don't want to give too much away, you guys, but she had been told no and, you know, went through some things to be where she is now. And those are the stories that I love. Those are the stories that everybody can relate to. Like, you have to go through the hard to get to the really good. And now she's at the really good. And so, oh my gosh, Amy and I had a few tears shed, like you probably will too. But there's also like a lot of love and a lot of happiness with it too. So I cannot wait for you guys here. You're going to love it.
Yeah. And she talks a lot about food. And honestly, I wasn't expecting the information that I got about like gluten sensitivity, which again, that's a personal part of her story and I don't want to give it away. But yeah, like I know for myself, like personally, that gluten and dairy I've got a whole new perspective on them now because of the way that I feel since I've cut them out. And literally like this past weekend, just doing things with the kids, we ate like crap all weekend because, you know, we went to the bowling alley, we went to the aquarium, and you know, there's just junk food. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing good and you try your best to stay away from it. But I'll tell you what, I felt like crap. Like my tummy was hurting so bad. It still doesn't really feel right. And I'm just ready to be back home with some of my like favorite gluten-free and dairy-free items that I found. Like those Siete chips mm-hmm. are so good. I know Philip and Wes are like super biased because they love their Julio's chips. I mean, like who can blame them? You know what I mean?
Oh God, so good.
They have that like seasoning on mm-hmm. them. You know, it's got that Tex-Mex flavor mm-hmm. and they're also from San Angelo. So they're a little bit biased, but I love how she, you know, took that again, I'm not going to tell you what it is. She took that personal part of her story and she really had to work around some food sensitivities for a really special reason. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. And, her food sounds amazing. I've been stalking her on Instagram for about 2 years now because I'm from Corpus Christi. She's in Corpus Christi right now. And I swear, like, I've been dying. I wanted to try her food, but I didn't know kind of what her restaurant was. And I didn't know that it was kind of just come one, come all. And I love what she's created. So I love that. And I'm just so excited to share her story.
Oh my gosh, me too. And like, you know, the gluten part of this is a big, she doesn't just make gluten-free things just because she feels like it. You know, she had something in her life that kind of forced her to do that. And that's what's so cool about it. Like she adapted, you know, like she adapted to what she had to do to make somebody else healthy. And, you know, she still does that at her dinner parties. And Amy and I, man, we can attest, like when you cut out gluten and then you add it back in, holy moly, like for me, I know that I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I get so swollen, like my face and my fingers and my legs, like everything gets swollen. My husband, when he eats dairy, like he gets really bad stomach aches. And I know, Amy, your body does not like dairy, right?
No, it's like my arch nemesis. Like I love it and I hate it at the same time. Like I love ice cream. I could eat it every single day. But now that I've cut it out, I can tell a difference and it's awful. It is terrible. Like I love it so much, but also I can't have it anymore. Just I break out. My stomach hurts. Like I had some really good cheesecake the other night from Papa Do's. Oh my God. But then I felt like crap and like my stomach still doesn't feel right. So yeah. And I really didn't expect to get the perspective and the information that I did from Natalie about why gluten does it to you and why gluten makes you not feel well. I understand a little bit more about the dairy since I've researched it, but now I'm even more like, oh, okay, yeah, we are really going to cut out gluten, because I didn't know that. Yeah. I learned something every episode, and yeah.
And she gets like real like into the weeds and like kind of scientific with it, and I nerd out on that kind of stuff. I love when people like show me the science behind things, and so that was so cool. And I know that you and I both during the interview we were like, what does that, like, I had no idea. Yep.
Yeah, it she really kind of put it into perspective, and I was just like, okay, yeah, we're getting rid of, no more tortillas, no more tortillas, we're taking them out. And one thing I didn't know is that potatoes don't have gluten in them.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Like every kind of potato?
I mean, that's what she said in the episode. And I know it caught me by surprise. Amanda only got to hear it once, guys. I've had to hear it multiple times because I edit them. So I have them memorized by the time hear them. Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, obviously, there's no wheat protein mm-hmm. in a mm-hmm. potato. So I said, oh, okay, well, that's good to know. I don't know why my brain just automatically associates gluten with starch. Same. And so yeah, that's one thing she said. And I remember that surprised me. And I also learned how to pronounce one of my favorite cheeses. So y'all just going to have to hear it.
I literally am still laughing about that. Like, I feel like this episode, when that part happens, and you guys will know when that part happens, you can hear me in the background just like laughing because I just can't control myself. It was so funny. You guys are going to die.
Oh God. Y'all should have seen me trying to edit that out, because we were all like laughing at the same time and the sound was just like going nuts. And I was like, okay, let me cut this part out. No, it's really funny. And I had no idea that I was saying it wrong this entire time. And it almost makes me wonder, like, my mother-in-law and her sisters, who were like super cheese and wine freaks, I'm all, did they know I was saying it wrong?
And they just didn't want to be rude and tell you.
Right. And they're just like judging me. They're like, don't bring that girl.
Oh, she doesn't know how to say that.
She doesn't know how to. Yeah. But anyways, so we're learning all these new things. I love that we are doing this food series. I am loving it so much. I think we should probably go ahead and get into it. Y'all are going to love it. What do you think?
Let's do it. You guys are going to fall in love with Natalie. She's going to be all over our social media today. So be sure to check her out and follow her.
Yeah. So happy birthday again, Natalie. I know that it's not technically your birthday anymore, but it's your birthday week. So this is our present to you. Let's jump in. Natalie, it's the birthday girl. It's your birthday today. Thank you so much for making the time to join us. We have been so excited to talk with you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I am very excited to speak with you guys today.
Oh, yay. So I know that I've been following your journey for a couple of years, and it's just been kind of a wild ride for you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what The Ruffian is, and then we'll go into your story, because I love your story so much.
Okay. So my company, or my job, is I'm the head chef and owner of The Ruffian, and it is a pop-up dinner party experience in Corpus Christi, Texas. So what that entails is me throwing out a bunch of menu ideas and menu and dates up on our website, theruffian.com, and folks, it's open guest list. So anybody can go to the website, browse through. If a menu looks good, it looks super great, you know, go ahead and click add to cart, buy a seat, and then pick the date you can go to. And then a day before the event that you selected, you'll be emailed the location. And that started out sort of as a necessity to protect privacy of the host, just to make sure no one's like cruising by, oh, that's where dinner's going to be on Saturday. So I kind of have it, you know, kind of secret until the day before. And then people show up at dinner time and they're greeted with a glass of champagne punch and they have a seat at our beautifully decorated tables. I mean, 90% of the time, my mom and I do it. We do the tables, but we have a local florist that likes to help us. There's a local home and garden vintage shop called Wildflowers. She loves to do our tables as well. We have a local party planner, Oh Goody Design. She'll do our tables. And people just love tablescape. I think that's sort of like where people can get mm-hmm. involved. And anyway, so back to the dinner. So then we have a seat and there's a 5 courses served course by course. And I come out and every menu sort of has a theme, whether it be spring favorites or summer favorites, like whatever is in season and locally grown, or we do French classics because I went to culinary school where French education was the basis. So I'll draw from dishes I loved or dishes I learned how to make. And I just sort of create menus based on a calendar, and people just really seem to like it. So once you're sitting down at the table and the dinner is served course by course, one after the other, and you just have a great time. The evening flows really natural, really organic. Conversations start, you know, about the third, we call it like the third course, like kind of a roar. I think everybody's had a glass of champagne punch, or they open the wine that they brought, and conversations just get a little bit more lively. And it's really hilarious to sort of hear this in the homes. And everybody's like best friends by the end of the night, swapping cards, swapping, you know, social media information, and even scheduling dinner for the ruffian at the ruffian dinner table, which is super cool when people buy seats for another dinner while they're still in their current seat. So it's just a great way that I needed an outlet to cook. So I decided to make a pop-up dinner party, and it's just been, I mean, nobody's really heard of anything like that down here. So I created something cool.
Like I said, I mean, I just moved from Corpus Christi, so I have been following your page and following what you do. And I never knew that you could just like go online and, you know, book yourself to go and eat. And I always wanted to experience it, but I thought, oh, well, it's probably invite only because it looks like it's in people's homes and stuff like that. Yeah. But I love every shop that you mentioned. I love Tea and Wildflowers. They're one of my favorites. So if y'all are in the area, you have to go by there because you will always find something unique.
Yes.
I love the owner. I always forget her name. What's her name?
Her name's Terry. Terry Moore. So that's the TM, yes, and Tea and Wildflowers. Yeah. She's,
yes,
so great. And she actually cold called me after a Mother's Day brunch in 2019 that I put on for the supper club. She was like, we're busy, we were shopping all that, or we had work all that day and I couldn't make that brunch. Could you do that same menu for my family in my home? And I was like,
oh, wow.
Super intimidated because I didn't know this person from anybody. And I was like, she wants me to cook for her. This is amazing. So I said yes. And it ended up being just an amazing connection. She loves what we do. She loves my whole team. And she's helped us out so much. I actually call her my Terry godmother. So,
oh, that's cute. She really is. She's so much fun. I love talking with her when I go into her shop. She's truly one of the nicest people, I think, in Corpus Christi. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I love your story and I love how you got started. Y'all get ready because I teared up a little bit the first time I heard this story. So tell us how the ruffian came about, the idea, and how you got started.
Sure. So it was in February of 2019, and I had kind of hit a wall personally and professionally. I was just sort of spent, and it all happened when I was taking care of my Oma. She was diagnosed with celiac disease at the age of 79, and that robbed her ability to eat gluten, and it took her favorite restaurants from her. It took her favorite foods from her. And so me having my culinary background, I was just determined to make sure that she always had something that she loved to eat, like because eating was kind of a chore for her there towards the end of her life. And so I wanted to make sure everything that she was eating that she wanted to eat it. So she would come to our house on Saturdays and we would have large amounts of food because I do not know how to like play it cool. I'm like day every day. So I would always, you know, naturally make too much. And she would love it. And she was a tiny little farm girl her whole life. And I would get yummy sounds out of her, which made my whole day that she was enjoying what she was eating. So we'd do dinner parties and lots of courses. And we would do wine and dessert and coffee. And we just had a great time and made it special for her. So I was like her restaurant. She used to come over about 3 o'clock and pour a glass of wine and sip and watch me cook. And she would, you know, tell me like, how come you do it that way? Or you need a bigger kitchen. We need to get you a bigger kitchen. And I was like, well, that would be nice, but this is what we're doing. So then she just loved like dinner and a show portion that I would give her. And so when I lost her in February, 2019, I kind of took it as a sign to just get back out there into the workforce and try to get a job back at a restaurant. Cause I had working as a private chef while, you know, working and taking care of her, and just, she was my priority and, you know, the other stuff kind of fell by the wayside. So I decided to get back into the restaurants, you know, have coworkers, not just work by myself. So I think in that month time period, I dropped off about, honestly, like 10 resumes around local restaurants in Corpus. And my only prerequisite was that it was like a local restaurant. Like, I mean, I understand people work at chains all the time and they are absolute machines at cranking it out. But I have a real heart for a recipe development. So I wanted to kind of get, you know, started somewhere where I could maybe like sort of tweak things that were happening or let them show maybe like a talk word special, what I could do. So I went to a few restaurants and, you know, kind of like, thank you for coming in. Or some of them would like see me walk in with my paper in my hand and sort of, you know, whisper. And I'm like, I work in restaurants. I know people talk in restaurants, but like, I'm right here. I can see you. Like, you're not hidden. So I was just sort of waiting and dropped off resumes. And I sort of hit my breaking point at the last place I dropped a resume off. And I handed a nicely typed up resume cover letter, handed it to the chef, and he didn't even turn his shoulders to like greet me or look at me, didn't make eye contact with me. And I stuck my hand out because, I mean, my dad raised me, you meet somebody, you shake the hand. And I stuck my hand out to shake a hand, and I got this limp fish handshake, like barely fingertips grasping mine. And I was like, I don't know what you think I have. I don't have leprosy. Grab my hand, shake it. So it was completely disheartening to like, A, not have eye contact, and B, just kind of be, you know, pushed aside, don't call us, we'll call you type of thing. And I was driving home and I was so frustrated. And I was like, I just want to cook for people. And that's all I want to do is like, I think I can cook pretty well. My family likes my food. I just want to cook. So I called my brother Nathan, he lives in Oakland, and he's sort of like my sounding board. And if I have career problems, he's always been very goal oriented and he's a very good career person. And so I called him and I said, Nathan, what if I cook for people and like, just invite them to dinner, like they can pay me like barbecue style, like pretend we're having a barbecue and everybody pitches in for meat. And that's how it works. But I'll cook it and I'll make the table look nice and you just sit down and eat. And he was like, oh yeah, you could do that. And I was like, so like, what do you call that? And he was like, yeah, they have pop-up things. So we kind of like spent a week or so going back and forth and kind of thinking out logistics of like how you invite people over for dinner or cook for people without, you know, making sure you're not breaking any like city rules or ordinances or whatever it is. So I did some digging and some research and I ended up finding a way to do it. And we created a website and a way to take payment. And I pitched it to about, I'm seriously like 80 people from my past, from my present, from, you know, old jobs, from high school, from old friendships. And 8 people said yes. And that first ruffian was in March of 2019. And it was exactly 1 month after my Oma's funeral. And it felt completely ceremonial in that we were in her home. We were in her gorgeous backyard with tons of flowers and tropical plants and succulents. And it was so beautiful. And we had 2 big tables set up with white tablecloths. And I ran red flowers down the middle and silverware and glasses. And when you put all that together, it just looks sparkly and beautiful under some little twinkling white lights from the Christmas tree section or a box that we probably had for 30 years of Christmas tree lights. And, you know, we just put it up and made it look nice. And I served them and everybody had a wonderful time. And I said, okay, what do y'all think? And they said, don't stop. So I haven't stopped.
Oh my gosh.
And you used to cook for her in her backyard, didn't you? Like, that wasn't that like her favorite place to eat?
I cooked for her, yes, in her home. And we were at her house. She just loved that she'd create foods like that out of, you know, out of her home, like what her kitchen she had always cooked in. She was like an oatmeal ham and cheese sandwich, you know, chicken breast and broccoli. Like, that's literally what she had all the time. But so when I would go in there and make too much of a mess for her, but, you know, I cleaned it all up and she just loved what I did. And not having that outlet to cook for her, not being able to cook for her, I just had this big hole, just this kind of like, I heard a quote that said, grief is just misplaced love. And I wanted somewhere to put the love. And I knew food was just the most natural place to put it for me. And so having the first ruffian in her backyard and having a couple since in her backyard, it's so wonderful to be so connected to her, not only like feeling her when I set the table or when I see white wine poured into a glass and it starts to get condensation on it. That looks like Oma to me too. So I just see her everywhere all the time. And the dinner party was, she was my catalyst for the dinner party, and she's the fuel in between when I feel like, did I make the right choice? Or this is a whole lot of work. I just think about, I would do it for her. So that's what keeps me going.
Oh my gosh. That gives me chills. There's always like one point of every episode where I get them, and that was it. I know that she could be so proud of you today. And I mean, I have no doubt that she's with you at every single one of these that you do. And I love that when restaurants were telling you no, and, you know, mm-hmm. making you question yourself for just that tiny little second, you know, you mm-hmm. didn't take no for an answer. You are such goals, seriously. And I know that there are so many people who want to take that plunge and start their own business. So thank you for that inspiration. I know that so many people are going to take leaps of faith just because of you today. So I have a question. How did the Ruffian get its name? What does the Ruffian mean?
So the Ruffian, the origin of the Ruffian comes from Pixar's movie Tangled with Rapunzel. And so she leaves her tower and she has her frying pan in her hand and she's trekking across to go see the lights. And she runs into these, you know, bad guys that she was told all about. And she called them the Ruffians. And so I would watch Disney movies in culinary school, because culinary school, as amazing as it was the most stressful 3 years of my life, between, you know, just the demand of what you had to do, what was expected of you, and then throw in the whole roommate situation. Ridiculous. So my escape would be to write recipes and watch Disney movies. So I was watching Tangled and I was writing a recipe for, you know, writing menus for French restaurants to be like, always to be these dream restaurants. And I was watching Tangled and she said the Ruffians. And I was like, that would be an amazing name for a French restaurant, because French food is, you know, notoriously fancy. And I hate that word fancy, but like, people think it's fancy. People think it's unattainable and kind of frou-frou. So I thought, if you named a restaurant the Ruffian, that had this sort of food that's a little bit more elevated, not what you're used to, that you know, might actually come in. And so it's enticing. It draws you in. And that's exactly what happened. So when I'm doing these restaurants and I pitched it to my brother, Nathan, this was like probably 5 years ago, we wanted to do restaurant the Ruffian as a brick and mortar French restaurant. And we kind of like, he did some mock-up because he does graphic design. And so it's just like a little fun little outlet for him to create and for me to create too. And then just put it in my back pocket and life goes on and you work and, you know, dreams, we put dreams on hold. And then when this opportunity presented itself and I called him and we were on the phase of like, what do we call this? And Nathan's like, you're going to call it the Ruffian, right? And I said, actually, I think I am. And I was kind of embarrassed, like, because the Ruffian's kind of silly and it's a fake word. It's not even spelled the way the real word is spelled, but it's like Ruffian. It speaks to who I am. I love the origin where it came from. And I love that Nathan was like, you're going to name it Ruffian, right? Aww. Because that's an amazing name. So, yeah. So it's completely how that came about.
Oh my God, I love that. It's so original. I love that so much.
Thank you. And, somebody says it speaks to like the rough elegance of me and the dinner party, because, you know, I'm can create this food and it's super spectacular and it tastes amazing. And I'm over here just super like down to earth, telling you all about it, making you joke. And I look like a mess because, you know, I'm cooking for 20 people at a time. So I'm total ruffian and I'm totally, it speaks to who I am. And she said rough elegance and I totally love that. So.
Oh, I love that too. And isn't it, it's funny when you go to like name something that's yours, you know, like I remember going through naming the podcast and I remember the day that the name hit me and then I was like, oh, it's perfect. And I loved it. But then you start questioning like, well, what are people going to think about this? Yeah. And you know, is that, you know, what are people going to, even though like, you know, that it's yeah. right, you know, like it feels right. Right. But I love your name and I'm so glad that you chose it. I think it's the perfect name and it really does. It gives it like an upscale. I don't know what it is about it, but I feel like it does. It gives it an upscale feel. Yeah. And I just love the story of how it came about. I want to talk a little bit about celiac disease and how it changed your grandmother's mm-hmm. life and how your cooking style had to accommodate to that. Can you tell us a little bit about celiac disease? And for those of our listeners that don't know, and how you kind of accommodate that?
Sure. So celiac disease is the full-blown intolerance of gluten, which is a protein found in wheat. And when it comes to digesting this protein, we have these little fibers in our intestines that help to move food along so you can digest it. And when you have celiac disease, your cilia cannot, those little fingers of hair like that move food along, they cannot break down the enzymes are not broken down in your gut. So when the gluten escapes your gut because those enzymes have not been broken down, they actually mow down the cilia in your intestines and you are unable to absorb any nutrition from your food. And that enzyme also can cause a pretty good inflammatory response. And so you can't, it causes stomach problems. It could cause skin irritations and headaches. And her big thing was irritability and skin irritations. And then it would just take it out of her. And she couldn't, I mean, she'd feel terrible. She literally looked like a sailboat that had all the wind taken out of the sails. So when you have celiac disease and then you have varying degrees of gluten intolerance because that gluten is not digested properly in your gut. And so it's allowed to, that protein is allowed to move through and it really causes some issues. So whenever I would remove wheat from things, it makes baked goods really hard to make and it makes like thick creamy sauces kind of hard to make. So you find alternatives. And I got really good at making potatoes 100 different ways because potatoes are gluten-free. And I got really good at making rice, like the thickener in her sauces and stuff, where you would use flour or other kind of thickeners like that with that are wheat-based. So it helped my cooking style because it helped to diversify my cooking style and also to recognize this because in culinary school, we were sort of taught, you know, gluten is in this, this, and this, and you need to make sure you wipe all your surfaces because gluten can contaminate. So it wasn't really like what you do to substitute gluten. It was what you do to like remove gluten totally. So when you're, you know, cleaning your station and you're going to make a salad, make sure there's no croutons whatsoever. Like if you say, I need this salad with no croutons and the line cook makes it and puts the croutons on top and they're like, oh crap, like this has croutons, let's take them off. You remove them and then you serve that. That person can still have a reaction because those gluten molecules are still in there. So you can't even cook gluten-free food in the same place that you use a lot of like flour products because that flour just lands everywhere. So it's very particular. It was very kind of stressful to cook for her in the beginning to make sure we didn't have any contamination, but we got really good at making sure there were separate ingredients, things for everything, and use a clean utensil absolutely every time you dip into like the sugar or the salt and make sure you didn't measure flour and then measure sugar because that flour gets on your sugar and now your sugar is contaminated. So it's, that's how particular it is. So with celiac, I got really good at, you know, recognizing that. And then for the pop-up, I don't have it advertised, which I noticed it on my part I should really do. But at dinners, just as recently as 2 weeks ago, a lady came with a big group and she loved it and she had so much fun. And she asked, my friend has celiac and she can't eat gluten. And I was like, oh, well, let me tell you. So I was like, I would love to cook for her. So I have gotten some heads up beforehand. You know, people are text me like the week of like, hi, I have a gluten intolerance. Can you just, you know, you don't have to serve me my cake or just skip the, you know, the toast portion of this. And so I'll make full on adjustments. So everything is substituted ingredient for something that they can have safely. So, and then that lady who asked about her friend contacted me and apologized for being a pain. And I said, please don't apologize for something you can't even control. So I will happily make this for you. And so I really try to accommodate that in that whole respect to gluten and its varying degrees of illnesses.
Oh my gosh. And it's so crazy to think, just like you said, like just the tiniest little bit of gluten can do to somebody. Like you said, you can't dip a fork in the flour and then dip it in the sugar. Like things that people would never, ever think about are the things that you have to worry about as a chef. You know, like that's a big deal. Absolutely. That's somebody's life. That's somebody's health. That's a really big deal. I actually knew a guy. He actually used to be a boss of mine and he had celiacs. And man, if he had anything, like you said, just the tiniest little amount, he would get so violently sick. And at the time, it was just so hard for him to find options. So I'm so happy that you're doing that for people and you're kind of accommodating, because that has to be so hard to watch literally every single thing you eat. So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So tell me, what was your Oma's favorite dish that you made for her?
So my Oma was, like I said, a simple farm girl. She was literally raised on a farm. Picked cotton, grew vegetables, like had, you know, pigs and chickens. So she always liked the simpler foods. And that was really lucky for me because French food is basically just really delicious peasant food, like lots of potatoes, lots of delicious cheeses, bread, and then like the simplest cuts of meat prepared in these very technical ways. And it makes delicious, you know, dishes that you never thought were attainable to make at home. So her favorite dish was this Gruyere potato dish that I made. It was Gruyere cheese, Yukon Gold potatoes, heavy cream, and then slices of Paris ham, which is a like a sweetly salted ham that you can probably get at most grocery stores. And they have a different name for it. And then and Black Forest ham. So you can call this Paris Black Forest ham. And then so it's layered thick cut with these potatoes and cheese and then baked and then broiled. And it was basically like scalloped potatoes, but she could eat it all day long. Oh. And I'd make sure all the leftovers stayed at her house. And, you know, sometimes it gets repetitious, you know, eating the same thing over again. You don't like it. Real repetitive. So, but she loved it. She could probably eat that for 10 meals straight. She totally loved it. So that was her favorite. It was the ham and Gruyere potato dish. And it's actually one of my eBooks. I think it's from August 2019's eBook cookbook. So the whole recipe's in there.
Oh, that sounds so delicious.
It's really good. Yeah.
I didn't know you had a cookbook. That's awesome. And I also didn't know. Okay, I'm going to show my ignorance here, guys. It's not Gruyere. It's Gruyere.
And then Gruyere. Gruyere.
Gruyere. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, it's so fancy. It's like margarine all over again. It's not just Gruyere.
Gruyere. It's very delicious. No. And it's a Swiss cheese family. It's from France. It melts really great. It broils up really great. It's super delicious.
I love Gruyere cheese.
Oh
my gosh, I can't wait to go to the grocery store. Just ask them where the Gruyere is.
And they'll be like right over there.
Also, I need to know where the margarine is. If y'all didn't hear the last episode, that's how Grace says margarine. We're anti-margarine. We only use butter. I'm sure that
you're I'm team butter family, 100%.
Oh gosh, but isn't margarine just the margarine. Most fun thing to say other than Gruyere?
I think I need to change the name of the ruffian. That's amazing,
right? It does margarine. Sound so fancy. Like Amy was like, margarine sounds like a really fancy, pretty name.
It does.
I know. I thought it was a girl that she was talking about at first. My mind was like, wait, did I miss part of the story here? Yeah, who's margarine? Okay, so from Texas, you know, we say margarine and we say gruyere. But I love French food. I mean, that sounds awesome to me. It sounds delicious. But you don't just create the food, which is another thing that I've always, always loved about the Ruffian is that you guys also create the mood. Like you go in and you decorate and the table looks amazing. Where did you learn about that in culinary school or did you just kind of pick that up or?
Our professionalism comes from, again, from doing it so many times. So it's nothing that I learned specifically. Like you learn how to set a table, but it's sort of not really anything to present the food is taught service wise. In culinary school, it's all about creating it and making sure you can afford to create it. So, but as far as the tablescape goes, it just comes from what I love to do. My mom would always make sure the table was clear. My mom would always make sure we ate on real plates with real forks. Like she just loved to make it nice all the time. And there's a sort of romancing the ordinary. And yeah, it's just dinner, but it's dinner with your family. So, and you can make an occasion if you want to. And it's nice to, you know, have that little touch of something nice at the dinner table. So we brought that into Ruffian with the flowers and the candles. And it's just something that we would see, you know, on TV, on your favorite TV shows. And you kind of want to emulate it, make people feel like they're being taken care of and very special. So I left it up to my mom fully because she's my right hand in all this. And she always says to folks that she wants to create, you know, a platform for Natalie's delicious food. So that's something that she creates a really beautiful table so my food can shine on it. So we like to watch the old stuff. What's it called? Barefoot Contessa, the Ina Garten, how she would always like have her little tips kind of sprinkled in her cooking show. So we would watch that. I mean, watch that forever. So probably picked up some tips on Ina Garten. She's amazing. And there's a YouTube channel called Dinner Party Tonight with a lady named Randy Sharp. And she's incredible. And she's so fun to listen to. So if you ever have any dinner party questions and the Ruffian doesn't scratch the itch, Dinner Party Tonight is incredible. So it's a really great, just an outlet for us. Like we love to be artistic in many ways. And I think it comes out on a tablescape. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I want to check those things out. I think it's so much fun to decorate the table for special occasions. Yeah. And it's kind of daunting, but like the finished product is just makes the food taste
better. Yeah, it gives you a great like platform. And just remember to just, I like to keep it simple. I like to just keep it simple and clean, like physically clean and visually clean. So get some Windex, get a microfiber towel, like really wipe down your table, make sure it's clean, wipe your votives, make sure there's no smudges and pretty glasses. And it's just, it's amazing. Because, you know, during COVID, we had COVID dinner parties where we used plastic cups. Like, I didn't bring out, you know, we served punch. So I wanted to make sure there was no chance of cross-contaminating. So every guest got a fresh glass of punch whenever they asked for more punch. So instead of taking the glass over and filling it. So when you take the glass off the table, you really lose some sparkle. So it's really amazing how glassware and really pretty flatware can shine it up. And then you just put it with some simple flowers and some really nice, I think real napkins make you feel very elevated without really trying too hard. So just those little touches if you want to be special. And yeah, and then decorate just to your heart's content, whatever feels right for you. There is no right.
I love that. And I mean, I think you can draw inspiration from so many places. And you guys, seriously, we're going to be sharing the heck out of the Ruffian on social media. So you can check out, you know, what they've done in the past too, or, you know, just other platforms. Like she said, just get creative and go out there and see what fits you. So Natalie, what is your biggest piece of advice for people out there who, you know, they keep getting told no, or like you know, they keep getting those people who won't look them in the eye. Like, what is your advice for people who have the drive, but they aren't really sure where to go with it?
So for the people who have the drive and they're just unsure of a chance, just take the faith, just believe in yourself and jump forward, because there really isn't any path that you can take that you can't handle. It's, you have just have to have faith in yourself and move forward, that if right now is not good enough for you, you're the only person who can change it. So you're your own worst enemy and your own best friend. So don't count yourself out. I counted myself out way too many times through my life. And I was just sort of fed up with me even telling myself no. But when you come in there and somebody else tells you no, you say, that's not okay with me. So you don't get to dictate what I do in my life. So just move forward, dig deep, and remember why you started. Remember why you want to. And just stay true to yourself and have discernment and being able to make the right choices for yourself. Just dig deep. And it comes from you. Truly, it does come from you.
And look at you now. You know, like, yeah. Don't you just want to, like, go to those people and say, look at me now. You know, like, I feel like there's exactly. Always just a little bit of part of you that looks back on those people and you're like, thank you. You know, thank you for doing that to me because it led me here. Like, it's such a good place to be.
Absolutely. And it's something that with this sort of inertia of the Ruffian and how quickly we've caught fire and how quickly people have found out about us, and namely, and then associating the Ruffian with me and my face, like when people see me out in public, I wonder if those people ever see me out in public, you know, because I know people recognize me, and I kind of scratch my head and think, I wonder what they're feeling. But because I know they know me, it's like the Corpus is like the biggest small town. Everybody knows everybody. So it's just kind of funny that that it happened this way. And I just sit back and ride everything else. I just leave it up. It's not my call. I'm just worried about myself.
So speaking of funny, there's like, I feel like there's always this point in everybody's career, like when they first start their business, that things just go terribly wrong. Like there's like me, I forgot to send out invoices for the first 2 months of my business. So are there any like bloopers or funny things that happened to you kind of in the beginning?
Oh man. So the beauty, the beauty of the pop-up is also the detriment of the pop-up. Like we bring everything to create a dinner party in a new space. So we're going to forget the menus. We're going to forget the silverware. What are we doing? So there'll be silverware. But thankfully, I have very well-equipped hosts. So if I forget anything, just a small piece of equipment, that's okay. But I think the biggest gaffe was probably forgetting, like, honestly, silverware. Like, are you kidding me? For a dinner party. And, like, we had to feed 25 people. I mean, standard folks don't have 25 place settings of silverware. So there we go, 30 minutes out of the way to go back to the hub to get the silverware. But I think that's probably the biggest one. I say silly things all the time. I sort of just start to, at dinner parties, I'm talking to the crowd and I'm sure I've stuck my foot in my mouth a couple of times, but it's all with good intent. I'm not trying to be malicious. I'm just a silly girl. So.
And we love that about you.
Yeah. Girl, I hear you. Amanda hears it all the time. I always say things that I'm like, oh, well,
yeah, y'all know exactly. What I like, you I didn't mean it like that. It sounded like that, but it was definitely not meant like that.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't imagine not having silverware. What did y'all do? Did you just say, here's some more champagne? Right? Like, or how did you?
Like Beating the Beast at the big table when she left drink the oatmeal. Oh, God. I told Mom, I was like, Mom, go get it. So she literally had to hop in the truck and head back to Cal Allen. Well, Cal Allen was like 30 minutes away from this house we were at. So there she goes back to ours to get our storage to get the stuff. And so, but it's okay. It worked out. She got back in dinner time. And luckily, I mean, one hand washes the other. We are a team through and through, and we get through it. So, but luckily I've not dropped any pans or like miscounted any like portions or anything. Nothing. Everything's pretty well thought out, because my brother in Oakland would probably fire me, even though I own my own business. he would fire me. We try to keep it up and running really nice and tight.
Oh, I love that. It's too. A family affair, like that you have your mom doing that. I hope that my children let me like come along with whatever they do, so I can, you know, I'll go get your silverware. Absolutely. Go to Cal Allen. I don't care. I want to do that. And I just like, I can't get over your story and how like there's so much of it your Oma is a part of, like the idea, the creation of it. And again, we've talked about this in several episodes, you know, that way that God or that the universe or life takes you through that trauma, but it leads you, it takes you by the hand and it leads you to like what your thing is, like what your next thing is. And I know your Oma had a part in that. I know you mentioned her, feeling her around. Have you had any like super cool experiences where they were just like chills? Oh my gosh, I know that was her. I feel that. I know with family that's passed on. So do you have anything like that?
It just happened. I mean, not 2 weeks ago, we were out. We were doing a birthday party. It was a surprise birthday party for a mom. She was turning 60, and her sons and daughters-in-law had all organized this big surprise dinner. And so when she got back from the beach, we were all there. And then the dad was there and he was watching golf. And Oma's favorite thing in the world was golf. So she would watch golf all the time. And so he was watching golf and I was cooking a potato dish, right? Like it was just so natural to like have this. And I turned to my mom just like really quickly to like maybe check something. And I got ice cold down my spine because I could have sworn she was standing right there. No joke. Like, what? I'm not, and I don't really like talk about like this kind of stuff with anybody. So the fact that I'm saying this really kind of like, I just kind of stepped outside myself for a second. But I feel her all the time. But then having to move and I'm like, man, she was in the corner. Like I felt like she was standing there. And so I feel her all the time. Whenever something positive happens, and with the ruffian, I've never had such good luck. And I hate to use the word luck, but I've never had good luck. I never won drawings. I never won raffles. Like I never got best dressed or anything. Like I've never won anything. But from the day I started the ruffian, absolutely everything goes in my favor. Wow. Absolutely everything. I can't even tell you the things that have happened to me positively and things that I can't explain. And I just say thank you, Oma, because I feel like she's just holding me up in the ways that I held her up at the end of her life. And she's holding me up now, saying like, this, and now it's your turn. Like, let me take care of you. She's just sort of opening these doors for me. And that's truly what it feels like. And you ladies pulled that out of me, and I've never told anybody that. And that's all I can really feel it. But as far as, you know, feeling her is 100% of the time. I talk to her all the time. I even respond. So like, she was very nonsensical. She did not like that I was sort of a jabberjaws. That was her quote. She was like, you're jabberjaws. And she said rambunctious. She always called me rambunctious because I guess I am. And so I will hear her responses to stuff that I say, like, Natalie, or just kind of like click her tongue, like she'll do little things like that. And it's just so Oma. And it's so funny. But yes, she's a part of my everyday, my all day. And it's all, I think all of this positivity and success absolutely happens at the hands of her, for sure.
Oh my gosh. And I know when we were talking, you said, you know, when we lost her, I didn't have anywhere to put that love. And
I know that really got to Amy and I, and I mean, you were tearing up just talking about it right now. And like I said earlier, I know that she is so proud of you. And like you said, she's holding you up now when you were holding her up at the end of her life. And
yeah,
we're so thankful to have you on this podcast with us. We know that she's listening. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for, it feels like a safe space. I've never met you ladies, but I can feel just the positivity in what you're doing. So thank you so much for being so easy to talk to.
Well, that means so much. Like, you're going to make me tear up again. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We definitely want everybody to come and find you and to follow your journey. And if you don't mind sending us a picture of Oma, we would love to share that with our listeners. And we want to share the Ruffian with everybody. So where can we find you online? And if you're in the Corpus Christi area, where can we make reservations?
Excellent. So you can find, we're on Instagram. That's where we're the most active, at the Ruffian CC, like for Corpus Christi, the Ruffian CC at Instagram. That's our Instagram handle. And then you can find us at theruffian.com. Our Ruffian spelled R-O-U-G-H-I-A-N. So theruffian.com, and you click on very easily buy a seat, and you'll see all the upcoming dinners, all the dates that they're on. You click on them. You can see the full menu right there, what time dinner service is, all the information you need to know, except for that question mark of where. And it's always within homes in Corpus Christi. We've been as far as Rockport, but we give you plenty notice to let you know it'll be somewhere far, like Rockport, or I don't feel like Cal Allen's far, but people think Cal Allen's far. So I'll let you know if it's out here in our area. So, but yeah, then you'll get emailed when your order confirmation's purchased, the email you use to purchase, that's where you'll receive all the info. And then you can find us on Facebook as well. So take a browse through our photos. They really do represent what you get. There's very happy people on there. And I'm just happy to create a space where people, you know, want to come and eat and return. Like, having return customers as a person with no building and nothing like that, and having repeats and regulars, it's amazing for sure.
Oh my goodness. Well, yes, I hear that. I remember being in real estate and people would be like, well, I want to move to the Corpus Christi area. And I'm like, okay, which area? Like, do you want the country? Mm-hmm. Do you want the beach? Do you want the city? And it's all, yeah, like 30 to 45 minutes away. So yes, that's amazing. You are amazing, Natalie. I love everything about what you do. You know, like I said, it's just a really cool idea. You guys make it look like it's fun just from social media, and the tables are decorated so beautifully. So y'all be sure to get in touch with Natalie to follow her journey. We can't thank you enough for being here. And again, happy birthday.
It was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, you guys, what an amazing episode. I know I said in the beginning how much like grit and tenacity and, you know, all those things that Natalie has, but she has so much heart, and I just love this episode so much.
Oh my gosh, I agree. I love this episode. I love Natalie. She just has the best personality. I love the way that she has taken such a tragic moment in her life and turned it around, and I'm just so glad that she talked with us today.
Yes. And thank you all so much again for listening. Be sure to rate us on your favorite podcast platform. We always love that so much. And that is how we can continually make it better for you guys. Again, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, we really appreciate it. We love every single one of you that tunes in every week. And if you're a new listener, yes, please do go and review us and make sure that you're following us on all of our social media platforms. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
And as always, remember, a good podcast should be like a woman's skirt, long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to create interest. Bye, guys.